tuned into the Audio Asylum. Let's get crazy.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the world's most pointless podcast. Welcome to the Audio Asylum. I'm Joe, as I say all the time on here. And my guest today is somebody that I think is super hilarious and super awesome. If you don't know him back in the day from Vine, singing about titties and his hilarious Vine clips, he was also on The Basement Yard with Joe Santagato. And he has his own mental health podcast, Off the Cuff, which I highly recommend, and his podcast with his brother, the Low Priori podcast. I got that right?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Nailed it.
Nice. So, Danny, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm finally happy to be able to come on the show. We were playing phone tag for a little while.
Yeah, we were both having some real bad luck. I was worried that I was being annoying.
No, it's never that. You want to know what it is? It's like I'm a night person. I prefer the night. I'm a man of the night.
Nah, I dig that.
Because it's easier. You want to know what it is? Because like during the day, it's like I'm doing Low Priori podcast stuff, and then I'm doing like Off the Cuff stuff, and then like you had to go to like a Nets game.
Yeah.
You just had to go to a Nets game. Did they win?
Yeah, they won. Yeah.
They won. Are you a Nets fan?
So the funny thing is, I grew out of basketball, and my boy had an extra ticket. But when I was younger, I was big into the Nets. I was like, I had Jason Kidd,
yeah,
and Vince Carter shit like all up in my old bedroom, and I played basketball in fifth, sixth, and seventh grade.
Okay.
So my boy just got me back
in your background.
Yeah, like he got me back.
Basketball's fun nowadays. So there's a lot of the young. If you're a Nets fan too, I mean, they got a good team over there. I'm a Knicks fan, so you know, we play the Jazz tonight. We'll see how that goes. Donovan Mitchell will probably score 185 points on us, but other than that, it should be all right.
Yeah, man. I my first game was a Knicks game. I think they faced the Jazz. I was like 13, and they got killed.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, that's what they do. They usually get killed. But you know, man, it's like I said, I'm finally happy to be here, dude. I'm finally happy to be here. You know, it's for people that are listening, you and I have met, and I think it was a very awesome occasion. I had like a meet and greet in one of the parks in Manhattan, and Joe came, and we just like shared a bunch of great stories together. So like that was something like, just so you know, like that day meant a lot to me. Like as much as you said that it meant to you, I think I've honestly, it might've meant more to me to be able to meet everybody and really have a good time and see the love.
Yeah, dude. Like what's crazy is that it was my birthday weekend and I had a flight to go to Orlando for like this 3-day rock festival. And the flight got canceled two nights before. And then the event got canceled. So when I went to reschedule the flight, the whole festival got shut down.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like on Instagram and I was like, shit, what am I going to do? Like, I'm fucking bored. All my birthday weekend plans are shot. And my friend Denzel, I showed him all your videos. He follows you on Instagram and he DMs me and he's like, well, if you want something to do, I know you always wanted to meet this guy. He's doing a thing in the city. And I was like, oh, shit. Like,
no, that was awesome. I even go back because even in like those like situations, right? So like, you know, you have like this so-called like whatever, like internet presence and lack of better word, like success, I guess. But like when you put something out there, it's like kind of vulnerable for me. It's like, are people really going to like care enough to show up and like come hang out and just talk and, you know, cop some merch if they want to cop some merch or like just shoot the shit and have fun. And you know, I was nervous that like nobody was gonna come.
Really?
Yeah, I really was. I mean, if you ask my fiance, I was even telling her, I said, I'm gonna be so embarrassed if like nobody comes. And then like so many people came, and it was like when I went upstairs after, like I had a moment where like I got a little misty eyed, like I got like a little emotional, you know. It's just nice to know that stupid stuff that you did in your room 10 years ago can have such a big impact on people you've never met before. And like it's become something that like, you know, like you mentioned my mental health podcast before that we're getting ready to like relaunch. I've done a bunch of interviews for it, so it's like all backlogged and stuff, but like being able to have that I guess that opportunity and the ability has been like something I've just realized is such a blessing at this point in my life, you know.
Yeah, man. Like I told you this in person, and I'm always super open on my show too. Like, I'll never forget like where I was. Like, I was waiting for a friend at a brewery in Brooklyn when I was listening to the episode you did with Joe when you were like kind of finally like talking about like you getting help.
Yeah.
And you know, like I've said, I've dealt with my stuff my whole life, and I've gone through real low lows. And I remember, like, because I listened to all the episodes, and I was like, this guy like likes a lot of the stuff I like. He's a wrestling fan. And whenever I would hear you and Joe talk, I'm like, this is exactly what the conversations I have with my friends fucking sound like without it being recorded.
Right. Yeah. No, I think the best thing about like that show, and then I'll come back to like that episode, was the best thing about that show is like, we were just being ourselves. Like, are they like amped up versions of us? Yeah. But when you're with your boys, you're amped up, and like you're the versions of yourself are like, you know, we're being who we are.
Exactly.
And I think that's why a lot of people resonated when I started being on the show. And I think that's just why a lot of people resonate with me. I try to be as open as possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to like keep things to yourself, but it's just like kind of in my nature to share like what I'm going through. I think that's like a part of my personality. Like, it's not a brand for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like kind of my personality is to like let people in and let them know. And that episode that you're referring to, I remember, and this is why like Joe's great. Joe Santagato's great, because he was like, listen, like, we don't even have to talk about it if you don't want to talk about it. And I was like, nah, like, I think the best thing for us is let's just open it up and have this conversation. And I've never publicly like talked about that and that, you know, that deep. I never took it to a level where I felt like I'm just going to tell everybody everything right now. And I'm really appreciative for Joe, because he gave me that platform to do that on the show. And like the outpouring of like just positive vibes was just like, again, one of the moments in my life that like took like my breath away. I think we really turned a corner there, even just in our friendship though too, that we kind of, you know, we hit like after that, like we were just putting out bangers after bangers, like of episodes, you know what I mean? And it was as therapeutic as it was for the audience, I think it was three times as like therapeutic for me, because that's something that I really, you know, I poured my heart into. I just told people like what the fuck was going on with me. Can we curse on here?
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. Oh, okay, you can curse it up. Yeah.
Fuck shit ass. No. I have this. I could throw this in there.
Oh shit.
You know what I mean? But no, like that was just like, I'll never forget that moment either. Like, I've never listened to that episode though.
Yeah, you never listened to it back.
I've never listened to it back. Well, I'll tell you, like, I don't even watch my own shows now.
Yeah, I don't like watching my own shit.
Yeah, I feel weird. It makes me kind of feel, if I spread a positive message and then I go back and critique it, it like makes me feel weird.
I feel the same exact way when I talk on here sometimes.
You know what I mean? I'm like, listen, that was that. And like, let's just put that out into the world and let's like move on and let the audience have their fun with it. Because then I'm the type of person, like, I'll just beat myself up about like everything I said.
Oh, dude, I'm the same exact way. Like, I have to edit like the videos that like me and the guys did, and we're going to continue to do in a different way. But like, oh, so many times I'm editing and I'm like, oh, I have to leave this in because I know people probably think it's funny, but I hate the way I look or sound or whatever. Like,
I've struggled with a lot of that too, just like in terms of like having like positive body image, like when it comes to like the internet. I don't know why. I think it's just because like what we, like our generation, I guess, and like just the world that we live in now, a lot of it's just like what you look like instead of like what you say.
Yeah, that's a big insecurity I have too.
You know, and you know, a lot of times I find myself, sorry, my dog's playing with his bottle.
Oh no, it's cool, man.
I'm starting a band over here. But like, no, it's like a lot of times, like I do, like I struggle with, you know, I'll have my good days and bad days. It's just like my entire life's on camera. So like if I look like shit, I look like shit. Like I have to do it. You know, but I feel like I've gotten a lot better with that, because as time goes on, it's like, dude, it's like, find the things like you want to change about yourself and then just try to put your best foot forward in like making that possible.
Yeah,
you know, I think a lot of things are obtainable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think like that's something like for me, like, you know, I for the small fan base I do have, like I took the hiatus from this for a few months and I sat down and I had a long conversation with three of my close friends because I was going through personal shit. And then I, you know, obviously like one of the guys isn't a part of this anymore. I wish him well though, but you know, I'm not a negative guy, but I remember talking to my friends and going like, man, like we're such a small fish in a gigantic pond. Like, is this worth continuing? I've been doing this 5 years and like on top of all the personal stuff I'm going through. And my friend Drew, and he's going to be on an episode, he's a musician, he's the man. He was like, bro, you didn't come this far to get this far. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man, like, I just got to keep
gotta
pushing.
Believe. You got to believe, like, as corny as it is, though, it's like you do have to believe in yourself at some point. Because if you don't believe in yourself, how do you expect your buddies to believe in you, really?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, they'll believe in you, like your buddy Drew believed in you. But, like, it's great to have that in the reinforcement of friends. Friends yeah. is very important. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of my New Year's resolutions, like, be a better friend, like, check in on people more. Yeah. You know, see people, hang out more, but make myself a little more accessible. And, you know, but I think a lot of that comes from self-belief. A lot of us deal with self-doubt. That's Selena going to the store, my fiance. but a lot of us deal with self-doubt, you know what I mean? And if we keep the right people around us, with that self-doubt is kind of minimized. But at some point, you know, it's like, I always am a big fan of, if I can take that and turn that into self-belief, because they believe in me already, how do I turn that into self-belief? And I think that's something that if you need to take a couple of months and go back to the drawing board or find things you want to do differently or pursue different things, you know what I mean? It's like, you got to kill a dream to start another one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You know what I mean? So like it could be a very hard period to like kind of, you know, try to do something different. But as long as you're trying, you're not failing. Like I tell people that all the time. It's like, if you're working every week towards something that you want, you're not failing at life, bro. I know life is very difficult and it's like very, like you got to have money to do things and you got to have this and you got to do that. But like the only thing that you control, what you can control. And if you want to make more content, if that's what in your heart you really want to do, like, dude, that's everything. Like, do that.
Yeah, because like
fuck everybody else, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need how old are you now, Joe?
I'm 27. I turned 28 in September.
All right. So you turned 28 in September. It's like, you know, at some point in your life, you're gonna say the things, like I said, control what you can control, right? You can control the people around you.
Yeah.
Whether they're a positive influence or a negative influence, whether it's a personal relationship, whether it's a friendship, sometimes it's family members.
Yeah.
You know, and that's tough for people to hear and that's tough for people to deal with. But it's like, are these people going to help me stay the straight and narrow in terms of where I want to go? Whether the fastest route is A to B or you got to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G just to get back to A. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
build
man.
The right team. Build the right team around you.
Yeah, I think one of the things, like, as I took my break that I noticed was that, like, I'm so thankful for my social circle. Like, my best friend Tina, my friend Drew, like, my friend Lauren, like, they, like, have my back through thick and thin. And, like, while this stuff was going on, like, you know, I won't talk about a lot of it on camera, but
right. They
were like, yo, like, we got you. Like, the show's going to come back. Like, we're not going to let you give up, and not just you give up. We enjoy doing this with you.
Like, yeah.
You know,
those are the people you need. Keep them around.
Yeah, man. So I'm super thankful. And, you know, I told you this in person, but like you and Joe were like big motivations, but like, cause originally this podcast years ago was just going to be like a wrestling and pop culture podcast.
Right.
And then I heard The Basement Yard. And then I heard, like, I listened to Jericho's podcast a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk, like, is Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like how he just interviews all these different people. And sometimes those conversations just sound like friends talking. And I was like, man, no, like I want to gamble on myself. I want to try, like, the inspiration came from like that and hearing you and Joe on the basement yard. And I was like, I want to take a risk. I want to try to get me and my friends to do something. Cause I, you know, they're characters. Some of them, trust me.
Like, yeah. Yeah. No, listen, I've won. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Like I said before, like, you don't like this shit means so much to me. Like when you told me you wanted me to come on the show, like, that's just like a badge of honor that like people want to fucking talk to you, bro. And I'm like, that's pretty, I'm at least doing something right.
You're doing a lot right, bro. You're doing
a lot. I'm trying. And you know, it came with a lot of failures too, bro. I've fucked a lot of things up in my life. I've fixed a lot of things up in my life. I've, you know, I've made friendships through hardships. You know, some friendships you lose, some, you know, relationships change. But these are things that, you know, you have to, like I said before, you have to kind of set yourself up to be in a positive position when all the chips are down. Right. So,
yeah,
you have to really think about what's the best for you. People have to understand in life, we do have to be selfish sometimes.
For real.
You know, and I think selfish, the word selfish, it kind of has a negative connotation like towards it. But I think in time, like people will start to understand that selfish necessarily isn't the worst word in the world. You know,
no.
Not when it comes to your own like well-being and your mental health space.
Yeah, because you ultimately at the end of the day, it always starts with you and ends with you. Like you can have the support system, but if you don't
use it's 100%. And like, you know, and like going back to what you said about like just having like a wrestling or a pop culture podcast, like it's always good to have a grab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like even on our show, Low Priority Podcast, like we sing and shit, but then we talk about like other shit, you know?
Yeah.
We play games. I think it's for me, I'm too much of a scatterbrain to be like, I'm going to do a show about books.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, you know, like Kanye will like call Pete Davidson Skeet and like, I have to talk about that. You know what I mean? Like that has nothing to do with a fucking book. You know what I'm saying? Or like some like lady, there'll be a video on a subway of some like lady shitting her pants. And like, I need to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Because like, if you have a grab, one of my reasons was too, like there's thousands of wrestling podcasts, thousands.
Yeah.
There's thousands of pop culture podcasts. So why not take the gamble on me and my friends' personalities? And if that stuff comes up, cool. But to not make it the vocal point, because there's millions of them.
That's what I'm saying. Like what makes you, I think the thing that made us listen, even when we were doing the Basement Yard and even when we do the Low Priority Podcast now, it's like, you got to bet on yourself. You know, it's like, I tell people all the time, like, you don't need like millions of followers and all this shit and, you know, a huge social imprint. It's like, yo, like if you have like 1,000 people that rock with everything you do, like you're chilling.
Yeah. I remember when I finally hit 1,000 on Instagram, I was like, this is cool. Like,
yeah, dude. Yeah. And it's like, don't put so much of your faith in like how many views you get.
Yeah.
Like, don't put so much faith in like how many streams you get. If the work is good, somebody will find it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are there lots of shows out there? Yeah. But that's a more of a reason to do it, because it's like, yeah, I'm just going to be better than all of these shows then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, listen, dude, like there's a reason why there's so many shows, because there's billions of people in the world.
Yeah, you dude. Know,
it's just about, just like you said, like bet on yourself, dude. Like use your personality to get you where you want to get. And then if you guys got to use each other, that's what friends do. You know what I'm saying? Like friends use each other and help each other out. So you guys got to be able to just relay that the best way that you can, right? But you know, you make clips, you believe in the work that you're doing. You know, if people see that you're being genuine and you're loving the work that you're doing, people can see that.
Yeah.
Especially like return viewers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Like when we put like our most recent YouTube video, like when I put that out to indicate like we were coming back, and that video was on the shelf for a while. And you know, it wasn't like 20,000 views, but it's the highest viewed video out of any video on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, because you took a little time off and you came back with something like you really believed in. And people, I'm telling you, audience, like they resonate with that shit. You know, like for me, like, you know, I'm not on the Basement Yard anymore. And like, I didn't think like people were going to like come and listen to my other show. you know, but sometimes you have to bet on yourself and believe in, like, you know, like Joe believed in me before I believed in myself.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it. He sounds like a good dude, man.
Oh, he's the best. You know, he's just a great, great kid, man. You know, like, he believed in my talent before, like, I really even believed in anything, really. So, like, he really helped me out a lot. And it sounds like your buddy Drew is kind of like that for you.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, like, when it comes to not just the show, but, like, music, like, he's been teaching me guitar, for a few years. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, what Joe is for you is what Drew is for me. I had, like, a few questions, like, one of them being, like, yo, like, I love, like, all the music stuff you do, like, you, like, even the comedic stuff, but, like, when did you kind of realize, like, you had that, like, because you can sing, man, like, really good.
Yeah. Thank
and
you.
Is that, like, an outlet that. For you, like, when, like, you're having a bad day or something, is, like, playing piano and singing and writing, like, a good outlet?
That's a great question. I appreciate that question. It makes me feel like an artist. It really does. But, like, singing has always been an outlet for me. I sing more than I talk, I think. And that's crazy because I talk for a living and do all that. But singing has always been something where I can kind of get lost in, like, this creative space, whether it's I'm feeling comedic, or I'm feeling sad that day, or I'm feeling really happy that day, or I want to make other people smile that day, or I just want to make myself, like, feel sad that day. Like, sometimes I like to just, like, sing songs that make me feel, like, mad emotional because I want to feel emotional. I think having the ability to sing is, I'm partially religious. You know what I mean? Like, I'll thank God every day that I could sing. It's one of those things where, thank God, like, people can resonate and say, like, it sounds good. It makes it better, I guess. But, like, music to me has always been, like, my first love in terms of anything that I've done.
Me too.
You know, I wish, you know, there's times I wish that I was a better singer. There are times that, you know, like, but for me, music has always been an outlet for me to find another creative space that I'm not necessarily 100% in. So, like, I like to keep music and, like, comedy stuff, like, separate.
Yeah,
I used to, but then I was like, yo, let's bring them together because I love both of these things so much. And it resonates with my audience because they know, like, damn, like, I love seeing comments like, yo, like, Danny could do mad shit, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome, you know. But, like, to answer your question, it's definitely a safe space for me, and it's definitely, like, a huge outlet for me because it makes me feel a lot of emotions in one time. And that's, I think, the greatest thing about music is that it can bring up so many emotions in you just through listening to somebody else, either sing, rap, you know, talk, you know, if people like to listen to poetry. I think that's the most beautiful thing, is that the emotion that you can actually get through music is like nothing else.
Yeah. And it's so, like, I'm sure, like, you probably have the same thing I do, maybe, where, like, my playlist, dude, like, jumps from, like, hip-hop to R&B to, like, acoustic alternative to, like, heavy metal to punk.
For sure.
Like, it's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, I remember a story. I left my iPod in a friend of mine's car, like, 12 years ago. And he took his car to Boston. I just left it in his car by accident. And he was like, yo, like, me and my girl were listening to your iPod and we were blown away by the range of music that's on there. You know, I think that people like us who are like, what do they call us? Like, audiophiles?
Yeah, I've never heard.
I don't know what the word is, but there's no there's genres for, like, awards and shit, but, like, I just kind of hear music as music, whether it is, like, a heavy fucking metal song or it's, like, a smooth ass, like, 80s R&B song.
Yeah,
I could get similar emotions from two different things. Like, I can listen to a rap song and I can listen to a heavy metal song and get the same emotions.
Yeah, that's what I love about those two genres too. Like, a lot of people try to separate them, and I'm like, if you listen to a nice upbeat rap song, it makes you feel just as hype as a good rock song.
Fuck yeah. Right. Hell yeah. You know what I mean? And for me, it's like, I went through, like, I don't know about you. Like, I would like to ask you that question, but I had stages in my life where, like, when I was like 12 to 15, I was very big. And that's when I learned like a lot about like the 60s music. And then from like 15 to 18, I started listening more to like 90s alternative. And then like early 2000s, like contemporary or alternative and shit. Like, and then like some rock and shit, like listening to like him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, listening to My Chemical Romance, but then like also listening to like Chingy and Jaquan and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I wanted to be as well versed in music because it helps me with my ear when I'm creating music.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like, so I had like specific eras that I remember, like, this is what my playlist was like. Was that like that for you, or you always were just like consuming?
Yeah, no, I went through so many phases. Like when I was younger, like growing up with my family, like my uncle just exposed me, my uncle and aunts, to like 80s, 90s rock.
Yeah. But
my grandmother was big on like Elvis and Billy Joel and Elton John.
Yeah, that's how my parents were.
Yeah, like I love Elvis Presley and I love Billy Joel. And then I got to like middle school. And I'll never forget it because I think that's what made me a big metal guy. Like Headbangers Ball would be on MTV.
Right.
And I remember like seeing like the Stupefy music video for Disturbed. And I was like, what's this?
Yeah. And I think that music has a very bad reputation because like it's like a lot of people, they say like a lot of people that like listen to that type of music are like, you know, they're super white, they're super nerdy, or like they're super like emo. I really don't think it's the case. I think if people took a lot more time to see like how hard it is to play that fast, you know, and then like you actually do, that's what I love about bands, is like you could just fall in love with one member of a band.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Just be like, yo, like this dude fucking shreds. Like, all right, so like for example, like Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? It's like everybody loves Anthony Kiedis, but like I loved Flea and John Frusciante more than I liked Anthony Kiedis. You know what I mean? So like that's like the cool thing, is like that's why I love bands, because you could just fall in love with like certain members of a fucking band.
Yeah, and I think like another thing too, like when as I got older, like Slipknot, right? Like the lead singer is in another band called Stone Sour, and he now does a solo act, and that dude can like sing.
Yeah,
he's like my favorite vocalist. Like he can make you cry when he sings.
Yeah, and then even like on a more like mainstream level, like look at like Dave Grohl.
Yeah, Dave Grohl. Yeah, he's the man.
He's the fucking man. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, I was in Nirvana, but like I did like Foo Fighters, and I'm associated with like Queens of the Stone Age, and like I, you know, like he does like everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and he just seems like he's fucking just loves fucking music.
Yeah, dude, Dave Grohl is awesome. In terms of like rap and hip hop, though, like who I wrote down this question because I feel like you'd love this question. Like, if you had to give me like your Mount Rushmore MCs,
okay,
who would you throw on Mount
Rushmore of MCs, like actual like lyricists, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not talking like entertainment, like who. Because I have two Mount. The reason I ask because I have two Mount Rushmores.
You could give me two of them.
All right, so I'll go with like my biggest like influences, like in terms of artists.
Okay.
My biggest influence in terms of artists are it's Biggie.
Nice.
It's Kanye West. Because you know I think Kanye is obviously in the news for a lot of shit right now.
Yeah.
When I was 14 years old and like heard College Dropout for the first time, I was like, this doesn't sound like anything, and I didn't grow up in the hood, you know what I mean? So it's like it was like, you know, it was refreshing to hear a guy like just not rapping about like shooting and killing for a change, you know what I mean? Like hip-hop was very super hood back then, you know what I mean? So it was hard to relate to outside of a guy's lyrical ability, like to be like, yo, like the way he puts words together are fire. And not saying that Kanye can't rap. Kanye can rap. It's just like
Kanye's,
you know,
great.
You know, but he's not like one of the best lyricists of all time. But it's like it's Biggie, Kanye, DMX.
Nice.
How many people are on Mount Rushmore? Five or four?
I think it's four.
I think it's four, right?
I think it's four. Hopefully we're not wrong.
Biggie, Ye, DMX, and then See, this is where it always gets hard, is the last one.
Last one.
It depends. It depends. I'll put one in and take one out. Like for a large part of my life, it was Eminem, like as four. But then I would take him out and like put Jay in there, or like,
yeah,
put Jadakiss in there. I put a bunch of people in there. You know, it would just be like a revolving door.
I feel like a lot of people forget about Jadakiss. Like Jadakiss was awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, and he still is. So like, and then like, if I go to my lyricist side, it's Jadakiss is in there. Eminem is in there just lyrically. How nice he is.
The wordplay is insane.
Yeah, you know, and again, like I grew up with the Marshall Mathers, the Slim Shady LP and the Marshall Mathers LP. So
I got in trouble for stealing that from my sister so many times.
Yeah, so you know, you know, I'm 33, so like that era of music, like that Eminem was like very influential on us as kids, for better or for worse. You know, again, I wasn't from the hood, so like it was like refreshing to hear like a dude who was white getting like major recognition from fellow rap artists who were black, and like they were fucking with his music and shit. Big is on that, and then Nas is on that.
Nice, that's a dope list, man.
Yeah, so it goes Nas, M, Jada, and Biggie, and then like I said, like, if there was an extra face that we forgot on Mount Rushmore, it would be like Andre 3000 is another guy that's up there. And then, so like, those are like my go-to like rap dudes, like of my life. And then like right now, like my Mount Rushmore right now would probably be like Kendrick.
He's so good.
Kendrick, Ye, Drake. And then you would take like J. Cole, Future, you know what I mean? It's like I've given up like the purist. I'm like, who just like makes me like feel better?
Yeah. You saw the Super Bowl halftime show, right? That was awesome.
I think they did a great job. I think they did a great job. But yeah, those are like all of those artists are very influential on me. Like as much as like I want to say a lot of like, because as creators, right, it's like we take and pick things we like from everybody else.
Of course, yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that's definitely like I've taken little bits and pieces from all of those people in my life. So like I kind of owe a part of my creativity to all of those people.
Do you think you're probably gonna work on like your own music album? Like that's not comedy, or do you think you would do both?
See, my biggest thing was, and I kind of had this realization, I was talking with my brother Michael recently about like, you know, just like where do we go from here in terms of like as people, you know, like not even like as a show, just like where do we go, like, you know, like what's in store for us in life, you know. And I think it's nice to have those conversations with people, because I have a very like stop and smell the roses mentality. Which causes me to like get out of like a workflow from time to time. It's kind of like I just kind of like to enjoy the day.
Yeah, me too.
But sometimes I overly enjoy the day, right? So like I'll play WWE 2K22 for 4 hours when I should have played it for one, and then like maybe did music for an hour. So like now that I'm becoming more of like a regimented human being, I always say like I'm 33 years old, but like emotionally I'm 14.
Yo, fucking dude, preach.
You know what I mean?
Me to a T.
Yeah, so like that's how it is. So like, you know, I'm learning that, you know, you can only get so far with like God-given talents, like to sing and like, you know, and to rap and stuff. It's like at some point you gotta have to learn to work for something.
Yeah.
So my thing was that I was always worried about was that would people take me seriously if I made serious music? And I always like have said like, I love rap about titties and shit. I think it's fucking hilarious, but it's like, you know, I'm more than that. I've, you exactly. know, people that are close to me and to see me create, like my dream is to write a musical, dog. Like that's my dream.
Dude, that'd be fucking awesome. I like musicals.
Yeah. Like my dream is to write a musical.
That'd be so cool
at some point in my life, you know what I mean? So like those are like the aspirations that I have, and it's not like I want to like, oh, like podcasting is like not a respectable like fucking industry. It is now, like people used to shit on it, and it is. But like I just have these big aspirations when it comes to music. So to answer your question, I try not to just say yes or no You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I try to give like long-winded answers. So sorry if I'm talking so much.
No, no, bro. It's perfect. Yeah.
But for me, it's I think I'm at the point where I'm finally like, okay, with just like, I don't really care what anybody says. I'm just going to make what I want to make.
Hell
so
yeah, dude.
To answer your question, yes. So like, yes, I want to make music, but I want to do it however I want. If it's a funny song or it's a real song, I think I owe it to myself to make a body of work that I'm in love with. And then if other people resonate with it, that's awesome too.
Dude, I love that comment about, you know, the being worried about being taken seriously. Cause I remember when I wanted to get into interviewing people, our YouTube content worried me because it's funny. It's stupid. It's like mini Jackass. Like,
right. No, I've seen some of your stuff and like you guys would eat like mayonnaise mixed with like battery acid. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. Oh, fuck. It's fucking dumb. You
know? Yeah. It was just like, yo, like we're just going to chop each other like for like 10 minutes. I'm like, guys, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I remember like talking to my friend going like, is anybody going to take me seriously wanting to interview them if they see this stuff? And once again, dude, you have your good friends that tell you like,
yeah,
at the end of the day, people have to take the chance and you have to take the chance.
Yeah, and- dude. Yeah. Like if you really look at like the greatest, like probably the greatest interviewer of all time, right? It's like Howard Stern, arguably, yeah. Right? Like he would have episodes where he would like have girls come and sit on like
the vibrators and shit. Yeah.
Vibrating dildo. But then he would have a great conversation with like Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you have to just like, again, it comes back to just trusting your abilities to be able to convey certain things at certain times. Like if you want to fucking be a jackass, you could be a fucking jackass. But if you want to have like a serious conversation, you can be able to do that too. The only thing that says to me is that this person's versatile.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I try.
Yeah, like, you know, don't pigeonhole yourself, dude, because opportunities will come and knock. And like, I think as people, like we're just too prideful and like we don't want to like try things and we're afraid to fail. And we're not like, you know, we're not comfortable doing things, and not being comfortable is OK. But at some point you have to put yourself outside of your comfort zone to really accomplish anything you want to do.
Oh, tell yeah, man. I've,
you know, because nobody gives a shit if you're uncomfortable or not.
Exactly. No, yeah, nobody cares.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like if you called up your job and said, hey, I can't come in, I'm uncomfortable, they're gonna be like, okay, we're gonna find somebody else that could do the fucking job.
Exactly.
You know, and like in due time, working through those discomforts, you will build up a you know, a theoretical armor for these things, and you're gonna learn from life experiences, which is gonna be awesome. Like you're gonna learn so much just from talking to other people. And I know it from experience.
Yeah. You have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I've heard that one before.
Yeah. And it's super cliche, but like, you know me, like I have panic disorder. I'm bipolar.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, these are things that I've dealt with in my life for a long time. And I think at some point you'll finally get to a point where, as corny as it is, it's, you just love what you do, dude. Love yourself, and like and that shit will show through all the work that you do. It's like, yo, like this person's like, they're killing it. They're getting after it because they believe in themselves.
Hell yeah, man. That's my main focus right now, is to like just enjoy the process now, because before I wasn't enjoying it. But like now, the past month, like I'm super like excited to keep doing shit. And speaking of excited,
I was the same way. So trust me, dude, we're very similar.
Hell yeah, man. You know, speaking of excited, like, you know, one of the things I loved about you when I discovered you was like, you're a big wrestling fan.
Oh yeah. I'm a huge mark.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Fucking, I used to do it like in the park when I was a teenager with my friends. We had like this thing called the Bronx Wrestling Alliance. It's like the most white trash sounding thing.
I love it.
People like would leave the football games in the park and come watch us. It was nuts.
Yeah, dude, fucking putting on a show. It's fucking paying your dues in the indies.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and my friends, we have a joke. We always have like this little inside joke for like all the years.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. All like the 3 years. Dude, you're paying your fucking dues, man.
I tried, and I don't want to say if I will or not. Like I did go to like in-ring training for like a few months.
Oh, you like learned how to take bumps and shit?
Yeah. And dude, it is not what people think.
I'm too afraid, dude. That shit looks way too hard.
Like, you build up like a cal. Like, when they run drills, like, you kind of build up a callus if you keep going. I think I should have stuck with it because I as sore as I'd be the next day, I thought it was so much fun. But it's
where did you go to wrestling school?
So on Elder Avenue, they had this gym called, it's still there, Darrow's Extreme Fitness. And they run local shows and they call it the Bronx Wrestling Federation. The funny thing is Santana and Ortiz from AEW.
Yeah.
Used to go to that school.
See? Look at that.
It's wild.
Those are the LAX guys, right?
Yeah. The dudes that were in the Inner Circle with Jericho. Yeah.
Yeah. They're in the Inner Circle AEW. They worked with Conan and in Impact Wrestling, I think. Those dudes. See, I'm telling you, dude.
Yeah, man.
I would love to go to I would love to go to like wrestling training for a day, but I feel like the video would be 3 seconds long because like running the ropes, I would fucking die.
Yo, dude, if you're serious about that, I can talk to somebody if you want. And I'll
I would love to just be like, yo, listen, I want to come in and train one day, like cut promos and shit, like have a lot of fun, and then just be like, yo, like listen, like we'll shout you out, you know? I would love to do it. That's one that would be a dream of mine.
Dude, that would be fucking awesome. Like, but when we're done recording, if you want, like, I'll give you some information.
Dude, 100%.
Fucking 100%. When you were growing up watching wrestling, like, I believe you said Austin's your favorite, but you could correct me if I'm wrong.
Austin was my favorite entertainer. So, like, it goes back to, like, the rap Mount Rushmores, right?
Gotcha.
So, like, Stone Cold was my favorite entertainer because every time he got up, I just got so fucking juiced.
Yeah.
You know, like, the pops are unreal. Like, you know, like, I was just so ready. But my favorite in-ring wrestler of all time is the Hitman.
Bret Hart.
Is Bret Hart. It was always Bret Hart, like, as a kid. Because when I grew up, my grandfather had all these Coliseum wrestling videos. That he would get at like garage sales and shit, and he had all of them, and when I used to go visit, he used to let me watch all of them, and they would have like the whole Sergeant Slaughter fucking Hulk Hogan feud on there. It's like Sergeant Slaughter joining the Iron Sheik, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so like this is like the stuff I was watching when I was little. Like, it obviously happened already, but that's where like my lineage in wrestling started. And professional wrestling started, right? And then it worked into more of like the modern day. Then I started watching it on TV. So I'm watching like Doink the Clown and shit. And like I was watching, I watched everything from 95, like up until now.
So you've always been invested.
Oh, from the time I was 6 years old, I've been watching professional wrestling.
Nice, bro.
Yeah. And I don't care who knows it.
Yeah, fuck it.
I love professional wrestling.
I always say, man, it's like a comic book come to life. A lot of people can't understand it. You understand it when you're a diehard.
But my thing is, like, people will be like, oh, you watch fucking professional wrestling? I'm like, dude, you went and saw Spider-Man for $30 yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, dude, you went to go, and then you fucking got excited because, like, Tobey Maguire walked through a portal. You know what I mean? It's like... I'm going to get excited when fucking Stone Cold comes back at WrestleMania. It's the same fucking shit.
Hell yeah. I don't know if you saw, he was on the Rich Eisen show and he kind of confirmed it. Like, he was like, I've been training for the in-ring comeback. Yeah.
See, my thing is, I've always noticed when Austin comes back, he's not shirtless. He's got jeans on. So he's been very protective of like coming back.
Yeah.
I think for him to come back against a guy like Kevin Owens is probably one of the best opponents for him to come back.
I agree.
Because Austin doesn't have to show up on TV every week and cut a fucking promo.
Yeah. Owens can carry that whole thing up until the pay-per-view.
Yeah. And just let him talk shit. And like Steve, I think cut a great promo, like coming out of the ATV and shit.
Yeah,
that
was awesome.
You know, like necessarily you don't really need like to not need Steve Austin for the buildup that much is like it's huge.
Yeah, it's almost similar to like the Cena calling out Taker thing a few years back. Yeah. Like Cena carried that program great. I just wish the match would have been longer.
Oh, the match was shit.
Yeah, dude. I don't know why they did that.
I think it was just to give like Taker back a win at WrestleMania. Who's your favorite of all time? Is it Jericho?
Yeah, it's
I'm telling by that shirt. So
yeah, I have a top three and it. So when I was a kid, it was like The Rock and Jericho.
Right.
Like just so, like Jericho had that rock star larger than life. Even when he was a bad guy, like he was such a good heel and still.
I liked, I always like Jarek because I'm 5'9", so like I always like the smaller guys too. So like Bret Hart was a smaller guy.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's like you know, I was a Hulkamaniac for sure, but like when Bret Hart lost to like Yokozuna, and then Hulk Hogan came out and won the title, I was like, even as a kid, I was kind of like, when I first saw it, I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, that heartbreaking.
Yeah, I was like, why did they do that to Bret Hart?
Fucking.
And then like it just didn't make any sense to me. So I was just like, nah, like why they do my man Bret like that? And then it was tough because Shawn Michaels was relatively a smaller guy too.
Yeah.
So watching them, like, dude, I remember watching their Iron Man match like it was yesterday. Oh, yeah. I was sitting down with my dad, and my dad was like, they're going to do this for an hour? I was like, yeah. You know, and we watched my dad and I watched Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart's Iron Man match together. It's like, those are like memories I have of my dad and shit, and my grandpa.
That's fucking awesome. Like, I remember watching Michaels and Ric Flair with my grandmother.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, I remember I was with my cousin Jonathan, my brother Michael, my cousin Daniel, and my uncle Joe when Bash at the Beach, 1996, brother.
Oh, fucking NWO. Yeah, rest in peace, Scott Hall.
I remember watching it. Rest in peace to the bad guy. But I remember watching it. And I was still in the idea that it was real at that point.
Yeah, dude, because back then, like,
you know, not scripted. It's real. Because those people get destroyed and they get hurt. But the storylines, I thought the storylines were real. I could not believe that Hulk Hogan did that. Couldn't believe it.
Dude, I think like the closest I think wrestling has come in a long time to feeling that way was, I think, when Punk dropped the pipe bomb. Because I'll never forget sitting in my room, because at that point I smartened up to the internet and like the ins and outs of the business. And I was like, oh my God, like, what did we just like fucking see on live TV? Like my phone blew up. Like I was in a group chat with my friends. I was like, he's fired. That's it. Like,
yeah. For Marks, it was a good day for us. Cause we were like, wait, like how much of that was real? It's like, is that a real shoot or not? Like, you know, we're using all our wrestling lingo and shit. We're like trying to figure it out. So it was Rock, Jericho. And then who was your third?
And then I have this weird third and fourth tie with Orton and Punk.
Orton is one of those guys that doesn't get the respect that he deserves. He's an all-time great. He's easily a top five wrestler of all time.
Yeah, Orton, like, there's something. The Legend Killer run is one of my favorite things to go back and watch on the Peacock, brother.
Like, yeah, dude, on the cock, dude.
On the cock.
On the cock, brother.
And just when he was starting to punt people, bro, and he was just going.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember this. He cut a promo with Vince around that time. And he was like, I have IED. He made up a disorder.
Yes.
It was like,
yes, he did. I do remember that. I do remember that. His feud with his dad and Undertaker too was a great feud.
Yeah, man.
His feud with Triple H was great. His feud with, you know, that the whole evolution was great too. I was not a fan of the Reign of Terror though. I was not. I've never been the biggest Triple H fan. I think he's a great worker, but he's the guy that works with the best guy.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that.
You know what I mean? So like when he was like the number one like guy, like I think his heel work is great. But like when they would like turn him like baby and shit with like DX, I was like, this shit's kind of whack. Like I'm not really into that. But like when he's like a chicken shit heel, that's like when he's the best.
Yeah, good guy Triple H never really did it for me either.
No, it's just like, dude, just be a piece of shit. Like you're really good at it. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you have like these title runs, but like I'll never forget that they booked Booker T with him so poorly, and then Triple H gave him the pedigree, and it was just one pedigree, and he waited like 30 seconds to pin him.
Oh,
and then I was like, this dude's a fucking piece of shit. Like in that moment, I was like, this guy's a piece of shit. I was like, yo, he did that on purpose.
Yo.
You know what I mean? I was like, and then like he said, like I know it's like fake, but like the writing was like super racist, and then like and then like the white guy won. So I was like, this doesn't really make any sense. Like, this is not showing like a good, like a good representation of what the storyline was supposed to be.
That was an oddly booked thing.
And then another one of my favorites too, who's like one of, like how I said, it's like that interchangeable guys that like would be on my Mount Rushmore. It's like It would be Austin would be my entertainer spot. Brett would be my technician spot.
Nice.
My promo spot would probably be Ric Flair, because Ric Flair used to just get me juiced as a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like watching him come out on Nitro and shit, and like the fireworks are going off. I used to lose my mind.
There's the probably the biggest legend in wrestling.
Yeah. So like, you know what I mean? And just like the swag and everything, like he was my guy, like when it came to like promos. And then like, this is where I'm like, do I go with like a giant here? Like, do I go with like my favorite big man of all time? I would say my favorite big man of all time was early Taker. Like,
yeah,
like Ted DiBiase Taker, like
nice.
That indestructible dude who like the aura was there. Like he was actually fucking scary.
Yeah,
I wasn't a Ministry Taker guy. I wasn't
ever liked that.
I didn't really love the Attitude Era Undertaker. I love the fucking Coliseum video Undertaker.
Yeah, like fucking like
the purple gloves and shit head tilting and all that shit. Like I loved that Undertaker, because growing up, we really thought he was fucking dead.
Yeah, for real.
That's how good the gimmick was. So like he's like on my Mount Rushmore, that Undertaker. But then you know it gets mixed in with like I'm a small dude, I liked small wrestlers, like I used to love Monday Nitro. I would always miss the first promo of Raw because I was watching the first match of Nitro because it was a cruiserweight match.
Yeah, because you had Eddie and Ray and X-Pac,
you know, you had all these guys Thunder Liger, you had even La Parca would be out there doing it. You would see Hoovy would be out there. Psychosis, you know what I mean? Like they were just like, it was just entertaining to watch like these little dudes like fucking go crazy. Malenko.
Yeah, Dean Malenko was great. People forget Dean
Malenko was, you know, man. I mean, and you know, Chris that guy was there. He was a great worker too, but you know, obviously, you know, so like those certain things, I was like, this is fucking really fucking cool. Like, I don't need to see like another 30 minute promo right now. Like, I know The Rock's gonna like tell this dude to like suck his asshole and shit. But, you know, like I'll watch the end, because they would always do the promo in the beginning and then they would do a run in at the end and like somebody would get screwed or whatever. So like you could really like, I wanted to see wrestling at that point. But like Eddie Guerrero, like I was a big Eddie Guerrero fan before he was in WWE.
Yeah, he was great in WCW.
You know what I mean? Like there was just something about that era of like cruiserweights, again, that if you were a small guy, it was like, wow, these guys are really doing it. Like I always knew I wasn't going to be Hulk Hogan size.
Yeah.
Like when I saw Kevin Nash, I was like, yo, like I'll never be Big Sexy like that.
Yeah.
You know, but like I'm Big Sexy now, but like I'm literally Big Sexy. You know what I mean? So like I was very like into those guys. Like, and another guy was Kurt Angle. I loved Kurt Angle.
So reinventing himself time and time again.
I just think realistically, if you look at one of like the best all around to do it, could cut a serious promo. Could be super funny when he had to be. Work, I mean, ring technician is, you know, one of the best. He worked with the best of the best and had amazing matches with them. And then also legitimate badass.
Yeah, like Kurt and Brock, I always say, like, the dudes that can literally beat the shit out of you have a different feel when you watch those matches.
Yes, yes. And then also it's like, you don't see guys take too many liberties with them in there.
Oh yeah, no, nobody's, you know, wants to stiff Brock or Kurt.
Yeah, because if you go backstage, they're gonna beat your fucking ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that's why it's like it's interchangeable. But yeah, so for me, wrestling really started around 94, 95 when I was like five, six years old. That's when I really like fell in love with professional wrestling, and I've been in love with it ever since.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude. And like those are like my Mount Rushmore guys. But like today's products, like how do you what do you watch more? Do you watch more WWE or do you watch more AEW or like New Japan or indie shit?
I watch more AEW because I feel like I try to keep up with WWE, but especially after all these releases, I don't have a lot. Like, I'll turn it on like to see what Seth is doing or what Orton's doing or what AJ's doing. You know, and I gotta say the heel Roman Reigns run is awesome.
Oh, I think if he's really saved like
the product, honestly.
Yeah, he really has. And you know, and he's really carrying that entire thing over there.
Yeah, I don't think you know, I love Brock, but I'd say they should pull a swerve at Mania and put Roman over.
I think so too, and let him just be like, and then like let him make his own belt.
Yeah, like I'm sure that they're gonna like have like some weird new undisputed championship in a few weeks.
Yeah, because it's like, first of all, these belts suck. I hate these.
Yeah,
belts.
I don't like the big W thing. I don't. No, they're trash. Yeah,
no. It would be dope if they just brought the double like winged eagle back. Like I have one here with the white,
that's sick,
with the white leather on it. Nice. I'll grab it before the show's over, but it's our fantasy football championship belt.
Nice.
I've won the fantasy football league twice in a row, so I have a double winged eagle. I have a double eagle here. But again, though, like I like what they're doing with Brock, though. Now I like Brock when he's having fun.
Yeah, you get to see a different side of him.
Yeah, it's like I'm cool. Like I've seen Brock the ass kicker like a lot. You know, like let him just have fun and like drive vehicles and like beat people up and like talk shit. Like he's having fun.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'm this is probably the most I've enjoyed WWE in a while. But like you said, when it came to like the cuts, I think they cut a lot of really good talent.
Yep.
And those were the people like I was watching the most.
You same. Know, like,
when I was a kid, I wanted to watch the main event. Now it's like, I want to watch the mid card.
Same.
Cause I know like the main event's just going to be like Roman's going to like one of them is going to beat each other up and they're just going to like go to next week.
Yeah. I also think the way the mid card is booked, like a guy like Baron Corbin, like the gimmick they strap on him, like Corbin could work. And I feel like
and he's a legitimate badass too.
Yeah, dude, isn't he like a Golden Glove?
Pro football, Golden Glove, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they're very stuck in, they lowered their roster to save money. You know, like they don't do pyro as much anymore to save money.
Yeah.
They're very financially conscious now. So like, you know, so they could spend a lot of money at WrestleMania. I don't like 2-day WrestleManias. I think it actually weakens like the product.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, like you would pay money to like see WrestleMania. Now it's like 2 days, like I'm good on that. You know, the golden era of wrestling is gone. So like people just have to understand that.
Yeah, I think, you know, AEW isn't perfect. I think what they're doing is great. I think they're bringing like one of my friends, like he just stopped watching years ago and I took him to Dynamite in the Prudential Center.
Yeah.
I caught COVID after that, but like,
yeah, well, that'll do it.
Yeah. But, he like, when we were leaving, he was like, yo, like, he's like, I want to watch this shit again. So I think they're doing a good job at getting eyes back on wrestling, but I also think like they're a little stuck in the indie booking ways in certain departments,
but they're like turning into they're going to turn into like WWE booking wise soon.
Oh yeah. Because they have so much shit.
Yeah. You know, like they're going to be like, it's going to be like what, Moxley versus Danielson. It's like, that was on WWE like 5 years ago.
Yeah. And I don't like that everybody's in a team. Like everybody on the roster is like in some kind of group almost.
Yeah. And it's like, it's like a little bit too faction heavy.
Yeah. I lose track of who's cool with who.
Yeah, it's like, they're feuding now or whatever. But I will say, though, the person who has finessed this the most is going to come back at Mania. I think it's the sheets have like leaked it, though. It's like Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that's
so Cody Rhodes. Yeah, so Cody Rhodes was Stardust, right? And he was Cody Rhodes. And, you know, he did that. But he left there being like mid-card as fuck, right? Mid card till he dies. realistically, like the biggest thing he had is like when they feuded like with the Shield or something. It was him and Goldust. They feuded with them and they lost. But this guy leaves, becomes like an EVP of this new fucking wrestling thing. Starts doing like shows on TBS for like singing competitions and shit. builds his brand, right? Leaves AEW, and now he's gonna go there and probably work with Seth Rollins, who's like arguably the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, and that'll be a show stealing match if they give them the right amount of time, for sure.
They're gonna kill it.
Yeah,
they're gonna kill it. He's obviously not gonna win because Vince is not gonna let him win.
Yeah, you think Seth's gonna win too? I kept telling that to my friends, like Seth's gonna curb stomp him into the floor.
Seth will win. I mean, after like Sting lost at WrestleMania, I was like, I can't bet against Vince ever.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that was one of the most disappointing things. The match was great, but the finish, like,
listen, for two old dudes, I thought they put on a great match.
Yeah, no, dude, that's one of my favorite WrestleMania matches. I hated that Triple H won.
Yeah, and I hated that. I hated how it was light out.
Yeah,
I hated that. I hated that. That's like even like that WrestleMania, like Bret Hart when they did it in the Coliseum in Los Angeles. Like I hated that too. It's like nah, like the title needs to be like won at night.
I agree.
You know, I was like, this is kind of weird that like they're having this huge match like WCW versus WWF, right? And it's like
bright as fuck,
broad daylight. I don't know. It just made me feel. And then like the Undertaker came out and it was still light out.
Yeah.
I was like, he doesn't come out during the light. Like, this is weird. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, I like the WrestleMania in an arena more, a closed off arena without.
Yeah, dude. Like, you know, I got to see how they're going to do it in Dallas. But like last year, like they did in Florida, right? And like rained like fucking crazy. You know what I mean? Like just put a roof on that bitch and put 32,000 in there and have fucking fun, man. And not everything needs to be 100,000 fucking people, dude.
Hell yeah, man. I'm excited for WrestleMania, man. I'll probably do a podcast review of some kind about it.
For sure. I mean, listen, I love AEW too, but they have to be careful like with their booking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think Cody, the reason Cody's gone is like Tony Khan didn't want like the inmates to really run the asylum as much as he wanted.
Yeah,
I agree. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, are you a Young Bucks fan?
I like them, but I as controversial wrestling opinion, I do not think they're the greatest tag team in the world, but
no, yeah. I think they're far from it. Like, yeah. I think Riddle and Orton are way better than they are.
Thank you. Yeah. I say that and people look at me like I have seven heads.
No, I think to like, not like the Young Bucks is like taboo, but like, the super kick parties and all the stuff. The match that they had, the cage match.
Oh, with the Lucha.
The Lucha Brothers are unbelievable.
Yeah. Those guys are amazing.
Those dudes are crazy good. Those dudes are crazy good.
I'd also take the Revival over the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's FTR. It's FTR through and through, but like, you know, like, my thing is this, it's like, if you told me that like Danielson and Omega were like going to wrestle every night, like that's cool. But like, let one of them win. I don't want to see draws.
Yeah. After a while, it loses its luster.
It loses. It's like he had a draw, then Hangman had a draw. And I was like, guys, like, let's book this a little bit differently. They can have a 60 minute match and somebody wins just because like somebody gets like passed out.
Yeah.
You know, I think MJF is like arguably the best fucking heel in wrestling. I really don't think there's anybody doing better than him. He'll have a WWE run for sure.
Yeah, they're not going to pass up on trying to sign him at some point.
No. And then like, for him, I really love what he's doing with Punk, but I'm just waiting for Punk to turn heel, which I don't know if we'll ever get. He might be in like John Cena territory now, or like he's just like a good guy.
I think Punk, like, knowing, like, listening to interviews with him, I think he wants to eventually do it.
That's when he's the best.
Yeah, I could see him ending his career heel, but I think he's become such a martyr and such a pop culture wrestling like star that it might be hard to turn. Well, I don't want to say hard to turn him back because Punk could easily get people to boo him.
But, in a heartbeat.
But I think it might be hard because it might be the cool thing for people. Like people will be like, oh, yay, he's a bad guy.
It is the easy thing for him. I'm happy that he came back. Obviously, he came back as a face, right? But like at some point, I need to see him cutting promos on like former WWE guys.
Yeah.
Like I would love for him to like him and Danielson have something where like he's a fucking heel and he's just like tearing him apart.
Oh, dude, him on the mic against those guys is going to be something.
Yeah. And like, I just think that the way that they've booked him. Here's the thing. It's like he's has so many appearances that he's super face.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if he was on like once in a while, like coming back and forth, like sporadic, I think that's why Brock Lesnar still works so much because like he's not there all the time.
Yeah.
When he is there, it's like a huge fucking deal. Like around WrestleMania season, he's there and it's like, it's a big fucking deal. Punk has just been, I think he's been really, really solid. I think he's been really, really solid. And I think when he gets an opportunity to really do what he wants, like creatively, I think that's when we'll see like the best version of him again.
Yeah. Because
he's just so good on the mic, bro.
Yeah. He is, like I said, like I always loved Punk, you know, thankfully, like I got exposed to Ring of Honor videos at a young age.
Yeah, me too. And then
seen him versus Eddie versus Ray.
I have.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You know, and like, I watched TNA. I did.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like, cause it was like, oh, it's on a different day. Like I'll just sit down and watch it. You know what I mean? Like I'll do that. And like even when he was there, like he had a couple good like tag team matches and shit. But like when I saw him in WWE, I was like, oh man, like I'm not sure yet. Like I have to see how they book him. And he's one of those guys that luckily they let him kind of do his thing while he was there as much as possible.
Yeah.
But are you a Adam Hangman Page fan?
I am. I think AEW needs to highlight their world champion more.
Yeah, like nobody knows he's the champion.
Yeah, that's another problem I have as a fan. I think the champion should be, if he's not opening the show every week, he needs to be closing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. I agree with you.
Little of him.
If you're going to book him as a champion, it'd be nice to see him like, you know, like main event. You know? You know, and like actually like promo it. It's like if you go to like AEW's thing, it's like all like Eddie Kingston yelling at someone. It's like, yeah, you know, like your champion's there. And I love Eddie Kingston, don't get me wrong, but
me
like
too.
Listen, he's from Yonkers, New York, so like I'm rocking with him heavy.
Yeah, same.
You know, so like if I'm a Eddie Kingston fan, but it's like, all right, like Jericho's last match, I think Jericho actually looks better. I think he was really out of shape for a little bit there.
He was, yeah.
You know, but he could still have a great match. The guys that I want to see work with each other at AEW, it's like I'm an Omega Mark. I am.
Me too.
You know, and I feel like a lot of people hate on him though, like now, but like I'm not going to. And I think when he comes back, that's when you're going to see a lot of great matches again. I think he's just that good. You know, like not having him is a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, I think if Punk's going to turn heel against anybody, who I would pick.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's like, I look at, you know, I would love to see Omega and Switchblade if they're going to do that back and forth. You know, Jay White's actually a friend of mine.
Oh, wow, nice. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so... you know, I would love to see him and Omega have a nice little Bullet Club leader issue. You know, a little bit of work going on there. But, you know, I think what AEW is doing, it's a breath of fresh air for like the industry and the business. But I'm more excited to see what they do with ROH. Are they going to treat it like NXT or is it going to be its own thing? You know, I think there's a lot of potential there. And, you know, if you have to send guys down, like, you know, they have Jay Lethal. Like, I would love to see Jay Lethal, like, more prominent, like, at ROH.
Me too.
You know, because maybe he could just gets lost in the shuffle a little bit here. So, like, you can have, like, really big guys on ROH still. So, like, that would be fun. And I think Tony Khan, he's so fucking rich. I think it's nice for him to do, but, like, you know, and at some point I want to see what your feelings are on this. I would love to see AEW and WWE do some kind of inter-promotional kind of work together.
I think at this point, man, like, there's nothing but money to be made.
Yeah,
I feel based off of the relationship they have with Punk and Mox alone, I feel like that might be such a hurdle.
Yeah,
but I mean, at some point, man, the bridge has to get buried. I mean, like, I don't know what it is.
I'm just saying, like, imagine, like, all right, like
MJF versus Randy Orton or something like that.
Yeah, or like, you know, they're at Mania, right? And like Roman wins, and like fucking Mox's music hit or something.
Dude, I'd shit my pants.
You know what I'm saying? Or like even Punk, like Cult of Personality hit.
Yo.
You know, at this point, it's just like, let's just do fan service. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's get the waiver signed and be like, hey, like, you can have one of our guys for 3 weeks. We get one of your guys for 3 weeks and we'll pay. You know what I mean? It's like how soccer teams like loan out players, right?
Yeah.
You should be able to loan out talent, because at the end of the day, it's just let's just make as much money as possible. Like, let's have fun with it.
Yeah, let's make money and let's make the fans happy.
Yeah, 100%. And I agree with you. The other wrestling question I wanted to ask you too is at some point, you're going to have to tell me what your finishing move was.
You know what's so funny? One of my questions at the bottom of the page was like, if you were a wrestler, what would your entrance music and finishing move be?
Oh, okay. All right. So why don't you go first and then I'll go.
Okay, so my entrance music when I was doing this backyard thing was Isolation by Alter Bridge.
Okay, I know Alter Bridge.
Yeah, and my finisher was like a cutter. Like I would call it, I used to call it Disaster Piece, which is a very heavy Slipknot song, and I thought that was like a super cool name for it.
I like that, the Disaster Piece, but it was like more like a DDP cutter or like a jumping cutter, like an jumping RKO.
Sadly, the videos are no longer on YouTube, but I did find a clip actually a few hours ago through one of my other friends. I'll send it to you, where I catch the dude off the trash can, like he jumped.
All right. So I'm going to have to see this. And then I'm also going to have to see some of you like running around in the ring and stuff. You might have to come with me when I do that and like teach me.
Oh, dude, I would love to. I haven't done it in years, but
you know, teach me how to take a flat back bump. That's it.
Yo, that'd be awesome, bro.
I love it. But so if I had,
what would your music be?
I would love to think that I think I'm a heel at heart.
Got it.
I'm a heel at heart, but like I'm a badass heel.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So it's like some people might cheer me. So like, have you ever heard Stroke by Billy Squire? Have you ever seen Billy Madison?
Yes.
All right. You know when he goes back to high school and he pulls up in like that Trans Am and it's like, stroke me, stroke me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a dope song. Yes.
That would be my song, because like as a heel, you could still do it. And then also like as a face, you could still do it.
Hell so yeah.
Like, I want to like straddle the line. You know what I mean? Like you could walk out and like kiss a girl on the cheek and then like also like knock a dude's hat off, like, cause yeah. Like it's a stroke. You know what I mean? And then my finisher, which has always been my favorite finisher, is a Michinoku driver.
Nice. Right?
But it's the other way. Like it's not him facing me. That's him facing the other way.
Got it.
Right. And then like into a pin, or I lay them flat. And then I hit them with the D'Lo Brown. You remember how D'Lo Brown used to do the frog splash?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a Michinoku driver into a D'Lo Brown frog splash.
Yeah.
Like a ridiculous one. If you guys have never seen D'Lo Brown do the frog splash, it's the coolest frog splash. I know everybody says Eddie Guerrero's, but D'Lo Brown used to do the coolest fucking frog splash in the world. So yeah, that would be my finish.
That's fucking awesome, bro. Yeah. As we wind down, man, I had two more questions. One.
Yeah, man. Fucking fire away, my man.
So my question. Fire off, brother. I got you, brother.
Yeah, dude.
My question before the last question is, like, you have both of these podcasts, and is there anybody who you'd like love to interview, like, for like your mental health podcast? Like, if you could pick like one person.
Well, I have two things that we're actually going to be like very like focused on this season when we're coming back is fans are a big part of who I really want to speak to, because, you know, those are the people that are listening to your show every week. So it's like, you know, fans is something that we're really, you know, we're about community building over at One in One Life. We want to build a community for everything, whether it's like financial health, physical health, mental health, all of these things can correlate with each other. So we're just talking about, you know, some people are experts in other things. Some people are experts in other things, bringing those people together to have those conversations. And a lot of people are novices at things. I think it's a safe space for people that are trying to learn from people that are very educated in certain parts of health, whether it be mental health or physical health or financial or, you know, relationship health, all those types of things. You know, I like to talk to all walks of life in terms of that. So we have a big fan focus on the next upcoming season. And then besides fans, people that I would love to have on the show are there's like three people I've always wanted to talk to in an interview. One of them's Trey Parker.
Nice.
Which is, for people that don't know, he's one of the co-creators of South Park. He's like, listen, I've met a ton of famous people, right? And I would not like fangirl about a lot of them because I would want to keep my composure. Trey Parker is one of those dudes where I would have to walk up to him and just be like, yeah, I just want you to know, like, you're a fucking god, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those things. It's just one of those things for me that, like, he just meant so much to my childhood and my sense of humor. I owe so much of that to like Trey Parker and Matt Stone. You know what I mean? But like Trey Parker is like more of my favorite. The characters, he voices, person. And what's up?
I said that's a great pick. I love South Park so much.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, like Randy Marsh is just like one of my favorite people on earth. You know what I mean? Like, I just love Randy Marsh. And then on a more serious side, I always wanted to talk to like Denzel Washington.
That's interesting.
I would want to talk to somebody that's very high up, like an elite actor, like fucking huge fucking movie star, right?
Yeah.
And kind of just talk about like the tolls that like acting takes on your mental health. You know what I mean? But also just about their journey into acting, and just like they're just, being able to talk to Denzel for like an hour would like change my life. Just like I'm talking to fucking Denzel Washington right now. It's like arguably the greatest actor of all time, right?
For real.
And then if I had like another one who was like an athlete that I would love to talk to, it would obviously be Allen Iverson is somebody who I've always been a huge fan of.
Great basketball player.
He was like my idol growing up. Again, another short guy that I was like, wow, like he's playing with these fucking giants, right? And like scoring 40, 50, 60 points or whatever. And I'm just like, you know, like this was somebody I would love to talk to now that his career is over, his basketball career is over. I would love to talk to him like just in retrospect. But like, those are like my three like people that I would love to talk to in like in the next year, if I can make it possible.
Dude, I hope it happens for you. That would be amazing.
I appreciate that. You know, it's thankfully like, you know, you start to meet people that know certain people and maybe you can get 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there. So like, I'll take 10, you know, and just, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I could find as much inspiration from a fan of the show than I could though, like a super fucking famous established person on the fame side of the world, on the famous side of the world. You know, like I could get just as much out of an interview between someone like, say, Denzel Washington as I can somebody like you. You know what I mean? I think it's just putting people on a platform where everybody's equal, because we are all talking about things that are important to us, like mental health. So like, I really think like that's why I love doing Off the Cuff so much, is because I do get to talk to so many people from different walks of life. And it's a lot of fun for me, but I learned so fucking much.
Yeah.
From just like hearing stories and, you know, not feeling alone about stuff that I've gone through in my life. And, you know, seeing that we have a lot more in common with each other than we don't.
Yeah, man, that's one of the things I took from listening to you. Like, I was like, man, I have a lot in common with this guy. I don't even know him. Like,
yeah, and I think you get that from being honest, honest about your failures, honest about your triumphs, honest about your ups, honest about your downs. I think a lot of people learn a lot more through mistakes than they do learning through triumphs, because triumphs just feel better.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't think about them as much. You know, what could I have done better to win the game? But I won the game. So it's like, now I'm just enjoying winning the game. I think when you lose things in life, when you lose, these small battles with yourself from time to time, I think those are learning moments. They're learning opportunities for all of us, really, when we're going through just like really tough shit. And as time goes on, I'm starting to believe in that philosophy more and more. You know, some days are harder than the other. You know, when you're having a bad fucking day, you're having a bad fucking day. But the day after, I try to like, you know, I could have done this better. I could have spoken to my mom better. I could have spoken to my fiance better. I could have done this. I could have taken the garbage out. It's little things. Like, it's just little goals that can help like make your make your day mean more, you know, like set yourself up with just little goals that you can accomplish through the day, whether it's just like making your bed, you know, like, or trying to take the garbage out more often, or like, you know, these are things like I'm literally still working on. I'm 33 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to get better at these little things. And I think, you know, when we set ourselves up, with goals, I think it's the best thing for us as people, because it helps us have drive to not only get to our big goals, but if we prove that we could build a bunch of little goals and sacrifice and actually complete those, it gives us a lot of confidence to get to that next level in our lives. So that's for sure why I love doing the show so much. And then also, like I said, it's as therapeutic for me as it is for the guests.
Yeah, you answered what my second question would have been and all that, like, you know, advice to people. And dude, like, what you're doing is so important, I think, like, because especially men's mental health also, like,
for sure.
Like, you know, it's so underlooked, because like, I remember like when I opened up to you, when I met you, you were like, yeah, man, like sometimes you don't want to look like a pussy, but we need to not think like that.
Yeah, because I mean, there's just a very big stigma when it comes to male mental health, right? Especially nowadays. You know, back in the day, when we were kids, if you had feelings, you were a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
You know, you were a fucking F. You know, stop being an F. Stop being a P. Stop being a B.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just what it was. Like, that's like how we spoke to each other, and we were fucking horrible to each other as children, you know,
for
like
real.
It's just what it is. But that was we learned that from somewhere.
Exactly.
You know, and the male ego is something that's very, very dangerous. And it's something that's very, very tough for people to get over sometimes. And I've had moments where my ego's definitely gotten the best of me in situations where I've just probably could have benefited more from just being like, listen, this is how I'm feeling.
Me too.
Instead of just being like, nah, I'm good because I'm a fucking man.
Yeah.
I'm a big, strong boy. You know, like, no, like, dude, like, it's okay. Like, you know, I didn't start going to therapy. I'm 33 until I was like 28 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I went earlier. I would have learned a lot more about myself and probably a lot more about life and, you know, made less mistakes in life. But, you know, that's why it's better late than never, I think. But you know, it is a world right now where a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of eyes on like cancel culture, misogyny, and, you know, men not being, you know, feminist and stuff like that. But like, I do think that men do need a lot more. What's the word I'm looking for? Of a spotlight when it comes in terms of mental health, because we've been set up to fail in that regard. By history, you know what I mean? Even like when you're playing sports, you roll your ankle, you get hurt, you know, stop being a fucking bitch, go back.
Yeah, and dust it off and keep going.
Yeah, you know, or you know, so you lose, you even when, like when you lose somebody in life, right? Like, yeah. like for real, like serious shit, like fuck basketball, like somebody close to you passes away and like you don't want to cry.
Yeah, or even like losing a relationship and stuff like that. Yeah, and people losing just tell you to get over it. Yeah,
like get over it, like yo, don't be a bitch, like man up, you know what I'm saying? Like that's like the dumbest thing like people could say to me is like man up.
It's
like,
yeah, dude, I think it's so stupid.
I'm a fucking man. You know, I'm a man. I'm a fucking full grown man.
Yeah, you know, people like, forget that we're human beings with emotions.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and listen, like guys, we, you know, we haven't made the best precedent for ourselves a lot of the times. But the thing is, it's because we're so attached to our ego and how other men most of the time view us. You know, a lot of times it's how we view other men. But also when it comes to relationships is that, as men, we're supposed to be these strong providers and these big, like, you know, these forces of nature. And you don't want to put that, you don't want to put that, that obligation. You feel like you're putting a workload on your partner for you having feelings and emotion.
Yeah, I felt that. Yeah. Cause I've gone through that a lot. Yep.
Yeah. And then it's just like, you know, like, oh, they're going to think like I'm a fucking baby, or like, they're going to think I'm less of a man and stuff. It's like,
yep.
You know, these are conversations I've had to have with my fiance as she's back there cooking.
She was very nice to me when I met her. Hi.
She's a sweetheart. Selena. Oh, she has headphones in. Selena. Oh. Joe says hello. But yeah, she's got headphones in. But you know, like it's a lot of stuff, and like, you know, we're getting ready to get married, and you know, we've been talking about, you know, we're gonna do some like couples counseling, and I think that people have to understand, like, in terms of like that, it's like, again, stigma, right? Oh, they're doing couples counseling, their relationship must be in shambles.
Yeah, that's what, like, the people are gonna think something crazy. Yeah,
yeah. And then at some point, like when it comes to like your relationship, right? People are going to think if you're upset about your relationship, like you're being a bitch and shit like that. And then also it's like, you don't want people to think you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a big thing I would go through.
Yeah. Like, like if you go to therapy tomorrow, people are going to be like, oh, like what's wrong with Joe? Why is he going to therapy? Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with you, dude.
Yeah. It's just men should be more, not just men, just people in general should just be more open to the help. And we should just be helping each other instead of tearing each other down.
And the thing is, it's very hard. It's much easier said than done. But I do promise you, though, that if you do put the work in, I'm not saying you, I'm just saying, you know,
like in general,
if you do put the work in, something will change. And like, there's one like saying that that's always kind of stuck with me. I forgot where I heard it first, but whoever said it, thank you for saying it, is that, you know, when you do the same thing and expect different results, like that's the definition of like just insanity. Madness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just try different things, dude. Like just be willing to, like, you know, like I'm going to try something a little bit different today. About just even just about the way you think of things, the way you take in information. A lot of times it's very hard for me to break routines, and I'm very good at making shitty routines.
Same.
like sleeping mad late, staying up super late, you know, making the conscious effort to just kind of do things a little bit healthier and like a little more like thought conscious. It really helps you from like the head down, dude. I'm telling you, brother, it's the truth. what would you say you deal with the most, like on a day-to-day basis, that like fucks with you?
Definitely my anxiety and depression. Like I go through this thing where like I won't intentionally think about something, like, and it'll pop in my head and I'll get so sad or fixated on it that like I won't know how to deal with that emotion. Like I never burst out into anger or anything, but I just get sad and I'm like really insecure. Like
right.
I'm always worried like that either A, I'm a bother, or like even like, you know, when it has come to girls or relationships, like I'm not good looking enough, or you know, when it comes to the show, am I not talented enough? Like I'm my own worst critic, and I have a hard time cutting myself a break. Right. And I have a hard time staying in a routine. You mentioned that. That's yeah. something I have a problem with as well, that I'm trying to get better at this month.
See, I do think another thing, like when it comes to like relationships, right? In time, I really do feel that the more you have to get comfortable with yourself before you can get comfortable with somebody else, right? Yeah. I think that's a lot of and that goes back to like men as well, is like we have a very hard time like accepting that, you know, not every girl wants to be with us.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be like, what? Like, what's wrong with me? You know what I mean? And it's not necessarily there's anything wrong with us, but our thought process is wrong a lot of the time. You know, so like, if you're the best version of yourself, somebody will find you as the best version of yourself, because one, you'll be more confident.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you'll actually love yourself more. And that type of stuff radiates. Like there, I'm a big believer in that, like energies of people. Like,
yeah.
Sounding weird. You know what I mean? Like when you met me, I'm sure you felt a certain energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, when I met you, I felt a certain energy. Like people are animals at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we can read each other fairly well, right?
Yeah.
But like my thing is like I see a lot of young men that will tell me, like, you know, like they have trouble with girls and stuff like that. A lot of it starts up here, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then also it's like we have to have like realistic expectations of our own self-worth. You know what I mean? Like you have to like, you got to love yourself, dude. You know what I mean? And yeah. And at the end of the day, I hope you find somebody. I'm talking to the listeners. I'm just saying that you find somebody that just rocks with you.
Yeah.
Like likes the shit you like, you know, like you can put you on the shit that you never thought you would like, you know, like have meaningful conversations. And like that's what people, it's not all about like just like dating the hottest people and like living exactly. the best, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like that's not what people have should be striving for. Like people should be striving for like life partners, bro. Like, you know, like people that you could be yourself with and
yeah, like
and,
a human and, connection.
Yeah, but they also make you love yourself more. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of times we get caught up. It's like, well, this girl's really hot, and like I want to be with her because she's hot.
Yeah, it's the wrong reason.
Yeah, it's just like the wrong reason to like pursue somebody, in a sense. Now, I'm not naive. You know, like initial attraction is a big deal.
Yeah, it's the what catches the eye.
It's what catches the eye, but also to be able to just be like, yo, like. What else do I want?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, let me ask you a real question. At times, you probably just want to be with a girl at some point in your life just because she was hot. Like,
oh, when I was younger, for sure. Yeah, I was a big
hot. Yeah. Say she's super duper hot, but hates wrestling. Yeah. Hates all the music you like. Like, doesn't like your dog. You know, like you know what I mean, and like hates your friends.
Yeah, I went through that when I was young. Yeah.
And you would stay with them just because they were hot, right?
Yeah, and because I think lonely too. Like that was another problem I used to have, like just being lonely. Like
for sure. But now it's
toxic.
Like,
it's poison to yourself. Like
it's very toxic. It's like, yo, like you're a catch too. Like treat yourself as such.
Thanks,
I got you. I'm just saying, like. Treat yourself as such, dude. Like believe, like have confidence in your intangibles, bro.
It's funny because I was having a conversation.
We all can't be the hottest fucking dude in the world.
Exactly.
You know, I'm far from it, but I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine hours ago, and we were talking about this exact thing. And he was like, Joe, like, he's like, I'm not kissing your ass. He's like, but like, for all the shit you give yourself, you have a pretty impressive baseball card. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, man,
dude, it's like,
damn, this is not bad.
And I will tell you, if you have a bad image of yourself, who picks up that up faster than anybody is ladies.
Girls, yeah. For sure.
They will pick that up faster than anyone. If you
have been told, like, by, like, female friends, or just female I met yesterday at a housewarming party.
All right, what were you saying? So these dogs fucking killing each other back here.
That's cool. I met, like, girls have told me this before, and I actually met somebody at a housewarming party yesterday. Like, we're not talking or anything, but, like, you know, casual conversation, and anxiety came up and self-confidence came up. And she, like, looked at me and she was like, you have low self-esteem? And I was like, oh, yeah, like, for sure. And she was like, I don't get it. And I was like,
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you're feeling mad confident, and I was like,
"That's what I'm saying." You're probably you're your own worst enemy, just like enemy, how a lot of people are in this world. We all. It's easy to beat the shit out of yourself.
Yeah,
you know, it's. I'd look at it like this. It's like, you know, God made a couple of mistakes. Like, he made, like, why can't fucking candy be good for you?
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
You know, like, this is such a crock of shit. You know, it's like, I have to eat shit that tastes like nothing. Like, yeah, why can't it, like, why? Yeah, like, why can't cake be healthy? Like, they fucked this all up. But that's why it's way easier to be negative than it is to be positive. And that comes from a lot of us. We have a lot of privilege in our life. You know, like, we were born, you know, I had loving parents, I had a family, I had a roof over my head. These are a lot of things that we do take for granted, like, on a daily basis. Right. So, true. You know, like, so just appreciate while we're here, the journey is the best part, dude, because the end is the end.
Yeah.
You know, like, newsflash, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but, like, we're all going to die.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, exactly. We're all going to bite it one day.
Yeah. So, like, do you want to look back, like, on your life and just be like, dude, I spent so much of this just being fucking negative.
Yeah. And, like, scared and shit. Yeah, it's not worth it.
And I always tell people this too, like, and when it comes to girls, it's like, what's the worst thing they say? No.
No, yeah, exactly.
All right. That's their right to say no.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people need to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's like, hey, what's up? And they're like, no, it's okay. And that's okay.
Yeah.
There's so many women out there, dude. You know, like, I think a lot of people, and this is something I've dealt with in different aspects of my life. I've been afraid to fail a lot. You know, I didn't try a lot in school because I thought people would think I was stupid. You know, I didn't feel the smartest in my class. And then I would talk to teachers and be like, dude, like, if you applied yourself, you'd be pretty good. But it starts with a lot of self-fear. We fear ourselves, dude. And we're fearful of how we'll feel. But we're not even there yet.
Yeah, it's... But, like, it all circles back to the beginning of the podcast, right? Like, taking a chance.
Yeah. Like, why not, dude? Because I'll tell you this, dude. You might be on your deathbed being like, dude, like, I could have had a little more fun in my life. You know?
You don't like that. No one wants that.
No. And by fun, I categorize fun by doing whatever it is you like to do to the best of your ability. Like, what I do for a living, it's not work, because I have so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't need to be the richest guy in the world. I don't need to have all the cars and all that shit. Like, at one point, that was what I felt in my life. It's like, yo, I want to be like a multi millionaire. It's like, you want to know what I want to do? Like, be able to go out with my fiance and, like, not have to worry about how much the fucking check is.
Yeah. To live comfortably and happy.
Yeah, dude.
That's become my thought process as well.
You know, like, that's something. Now, is it going to keep me from striving to make as much money or be as successful as possible? No. But my thing is, I just want to live a comfortable life, dude. And just be able to have the freedom within myself to be like, I put the work in. I deserve this. Right? I deserve this. And I'm going to enjoy my life because I told myself a few years ago that I'm going to do what I want to do for a living, and no one's going to stop me from doing it. And the only person that's going to stop us from doing it
is ourselves.
Is ourselves.
Bro, that is, like, the perfect, I think, way to end this. Like,
yeah, you know, man.
Danny, like, I'm going to stop the recording. If it's cool, I wanted to talk to you for a minute after.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
bro, where can they find you? If the if the small fan base I have hasn't heard of you, where can they find you?
It's all love. You could just find me at Daniel Priori everywhere. And then if you want to check out a podcast that I do with my brother, you know, we talk a lot of about similar topics like this and stuff. You could check out the Low Priori podcast. And then if you're looking to, you know, just make some strides, maybe change the way you're doing with your mental health, I highly recommend the Off the Cuff podcast. Everything is on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. It's anywhere you could find podcasts. But yeah, man, I'm pretty much an open book. And if you see through my shows, that's where I'll be. And you'll see more of me, I hope.
Yo, Danny, thank you for doing the show, man. It means a lot to me.
Anytime, bro. Anytime.
And guys, you know, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Subscribe to us on YouTube.
I'm gonna do it right now.
Thanks, bro. We will be returning with the visual content on YouTube soon. And take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Peace.
Peace.